This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you want to get involved in the conversation on the Frankel and Frankel Andrea Attorney text line, it's 877-881-1053. Or the Twitch or the YouTube. You've got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, Alec Medford, and importantly of all.
We have one job today.
Oh, welcome Carter back.
To make Carter laugh.
Okay.
Because he's missed out on this show for a minute. So getting that dude to be like, oh, yeah, this is why I love working with this show. Because we're the only show he works with, I think.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't care about any of the other shows.
Oh, my gosh.
I like that.
We treat him the best.
We bring him dump cake.
Also fact.
Or you bring him dump cake.
Yeah, I gave him dump cake.
Dude, Mike has the best dumpy around. I mean, absolutely. It's so good.
And I didn't even blueberry it up.
I know.
Just a peach dump cake.
Just a peach dumpy. And it's sweet.
Is this how it's going to be all day?
Dave Raymond said it was too runny.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was nice and firm. I thought it was exactly what it needed.
So I drained some of the juice before starting off the process. So I drained some of the peach juice.
Okay.
If you started a dumpy business and that's all you did, you'd sell out every day. Every day, dude.
And it's very easy to make.
Yeah.
Are you done?
We're just taking
the
part of the show.
Didn't play. What are we supposed
Whoa,
to do?
Whoa, what is this?
God,
this is the fanciest
son
bell ever.
Of
look
a,
at this.
Please keep
bell.
Listening. I
oh
promise
my
we'll get
gosh,
to stuff.
It's brand new.
It's from Italy.
All right.
Did you bring that?
No.
Oh. All right. Let's start off by talking some basketball. Give me cut number 15 because I got some Mavs questions and I want to talk about that TV deal as well.
Doncic pushing it up the floor. Doncic drives, Doncic shoots, Doncic scores, 58-32.
All right, so I have a few different questions I want to dive into, but the first thing I want to ask you guys is, do you think that the Mavericks will have the best offense in the NBA this season? Not could.
Interesting.
Will. All right, while you ponder that.
I always have a question.
Okay.
Can I ask a question before you say your thing?
You may not.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
No. All right.
I'm really interested.
So the other thing is the TV deal, because people have been asking a lot about the TV deal. It sounds like Corey did some research this morning, and we used a remote control. Fubo and DirecTV do have Channel 29, and they're going to be good to go for those 70 regular seasons games of the Mavs that are not on national TV. If you don't have a digital antenna or any way to get over-the-air TV, whatever the case might be, the Mavericks announced this morning the subscription service, which will initially be powered through NBA's next-gen platform.
AT&T UVerse, Charter Spectrum, DirecTV, Dish, Frontier Fiber Keller, I don't know what that is, Fubo, GEUS, not sure what that is either, Grand Communications or Grande Communications, and One Source Communications and Optimum. So if you have any of those, which I've never heard of most of them, you get after it, baby. So you got Mavs, and that's awesome for people who want to watch it on KFAA.
Now, if that doesn't work for you, Mavericks streaming subscription costs will be $125 for a season-long pass. For a limited time, per the story from Brad Townsend, Fans who subscribe to a season-long pass have the option of receiving two tickets to a unspecified game or a $75 merchandise gift card for the Mavs. So obviously that would make sense if you're in it for the season. Otherwise, the season's about 6 months, and if you go month by month, it would only cost you $90.
Okay, so that's the cheaper way to do it. Do that, Tolos, unless you want the tickets.
Yes, if you don't care about the tickets,
so you're $40 for the tickets?
Yeah, $30, essentially. Right. But I would argue, if you're getting the season-long pass, you probably do care about the merch gift card, or you probably do care about the tickets.
Here's what I'm scared of the streaming thing, is that I still have not had good streaming my whole life. When they do stuff like this, Bally's was horrible streaming. If you tried to stream Bally's, it buffered. It just wasn't the best. To be honest, I haven't even tried Victory Plus yet. To see how the streaming is there.
It's pretty good. It's got a tiny lag at times.
There's a couple bugs.
Yeah.
If it drops out on you and you have to start all over, that's irritating.
I was streaming the Dallas Cowboys New York Giants game, the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Not the best streaming situation when I was trying to just stream it. Now, I know I wasn't paying for extra streaming. It was just that you stream on your phone on, and I was just like, it's just not the best. I'm not saying it's the worst ever, but you might miss a play or two, or you might go, oh, it buffered, you know. And so that's the only thing about this is we still have not figured out how to have great streaming the way that if you're watching off of DirecTV or AT&T UVerse or whatever, the way it is.
From the 325, how do I watch the Mavs if I'm not in the DFW market? Well, that's where you're going to have to go down the streaming route.
Oh.
Streaming route. By the way, if you are part of Club Maverick, so essentially not Zach and Eric.
I was about to say, that's a G-bag.
I'm assuming Zach and Eric will be taken care of, but essentially you're a season ticket holder. You will get the streaming subscription for free. So just wanted to give people an update about that because a lot of folks have been asking.
Okay.
Now to the other part.
Now I want to ask my question.
Okay.
By what metric do you mean best offense? Points or
I didn't know your question.
Yards?
Per possession.
Yeah, I'm going to go efficiency per possession.
Because the Mavs do not play fast. They play faster than 2 years ago, but
I'm going to go efficiency points scored per possession.
Okay.
So that works in their favor.
Where were they last year?
Let me check on that.
Okay.
I will say they will be top five. I just don't know where they finished last year to then know, are they close to that or not? Like, how big of a jump do they have to make?
Okay. They were eighth last year.
So I'll say no for first, but top five, I'll say yes.
Who were the top three?
First was the Celtics.
Celtics, and then you don't have the other?
The Pacers and the Thunder.
Oh, and the Pacers, that's Rick Carlisle's offense.
I will say no, but Celtics and Thunder will be better.
Yep.
The Mavericks take more three-point shots than the Thunder.
And you don't think that's going to change?
I don't know, and I think that's a philosophy.
Ooh, will it, though? Because last year we didn't
have
Gafford.
Shea gets to the basket more. Like, your main guy, Shea, takes easier shots than Luka.
But you didn't have Gafford last year until late.
True.
And Lively wasn't really realized yet.
True.
So I do wonder.
PJ Washington, obviously, same thing with Gafford.
And I feel like there's another slasher. I feel like you have more options to start this season than you did to start last season.
I agree.
I feel like you'll probably
let's be honest.
Want to work?
Dwight Powell's not going to play this year unless there's an injury. Dwight Powell actually works against you on this because he's a super efficient guy. He only dunks or layups the basketball. Yeah.
But so did Lively and Gafford. Like that wasn't that Gafford? He was 100% for like 3 months or something because all
it was
he did
unbelievable.
Was
right. Yeah.
But they will at least, let's say Lively, he will try a left-handed hook shot or like he will try a little bit of a difficult shot around the basket where Dwight Powell, God bless him, will just. You know, I'm either dunking it or laying it up with nobody around me, or I'm kicking it back out.
I think they're going to be in the top five.
Okay.
They're going to bump up into the top five, maybe even top three, but I don't think they'll be number one this year. But, man, their offense is going to be terrifying.
So I wanted to throw out some ideas of how potentially they could get to number one, but I think top five is a perfectly reasonable take on the offense this season.
And more than anything, don't you just want the offense to be good enough to where Luka doesn't have to carry the whole thing and destroy his legs by the time he gets to the playoffs?
Look, I agree. We talked about this last week, and it might not be what Luka wants, but I would love to see a slide in the regular season of about 5 minutes and 5 points per game.
Yeah.
Now, that might not be totally doable.
He was 33.9. So, I mean, literally, if you just want to go to 34 points, if he gets down to 30, I think it would be better for the team.
I would be good with that, and I would be good with a slide in minutes as well. But Klay Thompson is essentially replacing Derrick Jones Jr. Now, I know if you, like, dive into it, it can be more complicated than all that. But that seems like that would lead you towards potentially a more offensive mindset. Kyrie Irving, still among the NBA's best secondary distributors. Fair to say.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question about Derrick Jones Jr.? He was, and I don't think it was like 20 times a game, but you knew you could push the ball with him and get him a lob too, or get him down court. Do you have that guy anywhere?
So I will argue.
I guess Lively does it.
The combination of, interestingly enough, I'm going to go a little different here. The combination of PJ Washington for one, and then Derek Lively. Because I know we've seen Derek Lively. Well, Derek Lively can take the damn ball up the court. But one of the things when they talked about wanting PJ Washington to have a little bit of ability with ball handling as well, I'm curious to see if that can help at all. But Derek Lively can get right down
there. Okay.
I'll tell you who else can, watching preseason basketball. And I watched him with the Knicks, too, and talked to my Knicks guy. Is Grimes.
Yeah. Now,
I don't know how many minutes he's going to play a game. Grimes wants to play fast. Grimes is, he is in a way.
Better Josh Green?
Well, I don't want to say better Josh Green, but he is your Josh Green replacement. That It'll energy. Be up to you. Gavin Dawson loved Josh Green. I didn't love him so much. So it just matters.
He looked lost at times.
Well, yeah, he was. He sometimes you're like, hey, you got to stop. Like, I know this is an exaggeration. He didn't do this, but you're like,
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you on some sort of amphetamine right now? Like,
is it because of all the jump passes?
Yes, you got to calm the F down. Like, you got to play within yourself. As like Derek Harper would say, you got to know when to slow and know when to go. And he was just like, I'm just on go 100% of the time. It's like, you can't be in the fifth gear at all times. And he was learning. He is getting better. And I'm going to be honest, I don't even know what team he's on this year, but I don't care.
Australia.
Charlotte, I think.
Oh, Charlotte. Oh, good luck there. I think Grimes can be a guy who wants to play at a faster pace. Now, we know this. You're going to play at a faster pace when Luka's off the court. But Luka did become very Kevin Love-like on rebounds. He looks for now the 80-foot outlet pass or the 70-foot outlet pass when he gets a rebound. If he knows a guy like Grimes, PJ Washington, somebody has taken off.
Now, another thing to go along with this, obviously, look, we're talking about a lot of different things because you don't want to boil it down to Luka. Like, I get that that's the answer to most of these things, but okay. I did want to throw this out there because this is an incredible list to be a part of. Luka is coming off 5 straight first team all NBAs. Here's the list of players who have done that in their first 6 years. So 5 first team all NBAs in their first 6 seasons. George Mikan, Bob Cousy, Jerry West, Bob Pettit, Elgin Baylor, Oscar Robertson. Hopefully you're noticing a trend.
They're all old.
Exactly.
They play with plumbers and firemen.
And then Larry Bird, Tim Duncan, and Luka.
Oh, so the greatest.
So, yeah, if you look back at the past, I think like 55 plus years, your group is Larry, Duncan, and Luka, which is just incredible. Now, I know that the discussion is going to be, well, Duncan had 5 titles, Bird had 3 titles. Yeah, we'll
get what's incredible about that is that Bird and Duncan played their 4 years of college basketball or played, like they entered the NBA at an older age. So for like, I don't know, a Kevin Garnett, a Kobe Bryant, a Tracy McGrady, like they entered at such a young age, it was tough for them to accomplish this because of coming out of high school. But Luka somewhat came out of high school. I know he's playing pro ball over there, but came into the NBA at 18 years old and was able to accomplish this.
And I wanted to throw that out there because it's incredibly impressive. And I know so much of this season is going to revolve around variations of Luka, but that was one of the reasons I kind of wanted to chop it up in a just non-Luka fashion.
And Jordan, unfortunately, his second year got hurt.
Yeah.
So that is what eliminates him.
But still, pretty incredible company to
be. Which I'm surprised LeBron's not on this list.
Yeah, because I know he didn't make it his first year, and then I think his second year, maybe he was like second team or something along the line. So there's been people who have made 5 all NBAs, but not 5 first teams outside of that group.
He's still very mad that he wasn't an all-star his first year. That's what I learned from
Is he?
Yeah, he's like, I still, because it would be perfect. He's made it every year since
that
then.
That is true.
We're out of time, but my boys are so excited about Thursday night.
Me too. Yeah.
Like, it's almost like is it weird on game 1 of 82 to throw like,
no.
Like, apart, like almost like it's the start of the Cowboys season opening day for the Texas Rangers.
You can't go 82-0 if you don't win the first one.
Okay, I got sucked into this trap before.
And you start hot and you stay hot.
It starts tomorrow. Like, I know the Mavericks don't play until Thursday, but the NBA starts its regular season tomorrow.
And we don't have Tuesday night football anymore, so this is really good.
That is true. Was that only a byproduct of COVID?
Yep.
All my rowdy friends are here for Tuesday night.
They brought it back just for that.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the marquee 3 NFL games of the weekend and their impact on the league. Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.
10 at the Niner, 18-yard line. Here comes the end around on a jet sweep. It goes to Hardman, cuts it back, and goes into the end zone right to left on the jet sweep. Mecole Hardman.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The marquee 3 yesterday, we talked about this a lot going into the weekend. Packers, Texans, Lions, Vikings, and Chiefs, 49ers. These are the 3 games that matched up arguably 6 of the best 8-10 teams in the NFL. And the first comment I see, and we don't have to dive into this, we can just break down the games if you want. It's up to you guys, but I understand from the 806, watching Vikings, Lions, and Packers, Texans made me realize just how far away the Cowboys are.
It absolutely should.
Was that your takeaway while watching these?
Not necessarily, but I see it.
Yeah.
And the people who are running the Cowboys should watch those games too to be like, man, how close are we to that? They should ask themselves that question because I've asked Steven about that. I've said, hey, how far away do you feel you are from the best? And he's like, it's not how far away we are. It's what we can do to get to there. And it's like, okay, so you're admitting that that you're far away right now.
And I'm going to sound like a Jones here. I get where the Jones family comes from. We've won 36 regular season games the last three seasons, not including this one so far. And so they're like, we're not far off because you have a record similar to or better than those teams the last 3 years. The issue is whoever texted in, I agree with you, watching those games, it's like a different sport physically.
I can see that.
That those teams are playing.
Yes.
The way that they want to kill you defensively. And defensively, the Cowboys can be really good at times, but they don't want to play that style of football. They do not want to see who's going to die when we collide with each other. They want you to just fall down when you touch them. And so I watch those teams and I go, I don't know how the Cowboys, like, they can't beat those teams in do or die games because those teams are ready to die physically for the win, and the Cowboys want to finesse you to the win.
And I'm not saying that changes at any point in the season for the Cowboys, how they play, but I do wonder how if you can keep that kind of physicality sustained all season that we're seeing from the Lions and Vikings and San Francisco and Chiefs, like that kind of physicality is just different. And can you keep your body like through that season? It's a long season, so you do want to peak at some point and not too early. Because if the Vikings fall apart from here, that start of that season was for nothing.
This is the thing I just cannot get over. The Chiefs are undefeated, right? But how? Patrick Mahomes this year, 6 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions, and they're undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if he plays, I don't know, even mediocre Patrick Mahomes football, that is still significantly better than this, and they're still undefeated,
what
and
they
their
do
defense
well yesterday?
Still looks good.
Yeah, what did they do well yesterday? Their defense played great.
Their defense is good.
They ran the ball. Kareem Hunt was fantastic yesterday.
He's somehow immediately found the fountain of youth.
Yes, I think Brady was on that call, right? I think Brady brought up sometimes you are incubated in a system and then you go somewhere else and that system's not there and they don't know how to use you. And then you go back to that system and it's like, we know exactly what you are.
I know you're not a big fan of Tom Brady.
That's true.
But when he was talking during that game about Patrick Mahomes has put up the 50 touchdowns, he's put up the yards.
Sure.
So what? He knows now it's about how do I manage my team to a win? And this is where, look, I do this because I stick up for my guy Troy Aikman. Whoever it is, I love my dude. But like Jeff Kavanaugh doesn't think Troy Aikman was that good of a quarterback because all he does is look at the stats.
Right.
And if you just look at Patrick Mahomes' stats, you will say he's a bad quarterback this year. And this would never win an MVP. I don't even know if Troy Aikman ever finished top 3 in MVP, to be honest. I know that Emmett won it in 1995. But I look at the way Patrick Mahomes played that game, and no, it wasn't great, but he makes really good decisions at times by throwing incompletions.
Agreed.
And Tom Brady points that out. That's a good incomplete pass because it was jumped there and he had to throw an incompletion, or he figures out a way how to extend a play or to get a crazy run down the left sideline that he's not fast, but you wouldn't know it by the way he plays.
I definitely agree with you. I think he is a smart decision maker, and I don't need him by any means to pad the stats. What still surprises me is the turnovers.
True.
So he's had an interception in every game this year, which that doesn't feel, I know he's not averse to like taking chances and stuff, but that doesn't feel Mahomesy to me, because when you were talking about like, he is smart and knows how to say, hey, this game's over, so let's just ride it out. That usually comes fairly turnover free. And true. So the yards don't really bother me at all. Cause like I said, who gives a crap? Everybody knows he's the best, but it's the turnovers that I'm curious about. And I see it one of two ways. Either is this going to be something that's going to hurt them in the games that matter, or is it the exact opposite? The fact that he's turning the ball over and nobody can still beat them anyway.
Yeah, their defense being what it is. I mean, what it was last year got them the championship. Mahomes was good. Their defense was exceptional last year.
You know,
their defense looks better right now.
They've given up more than 20 points in a game this season one time.
Nice. See, this is where my problem is, Kevin. My brain instantly wants to go, well, what have the Cowboys done? And then I'm like,
don't ask.
Yeah, so that's frustrating.
And then here's the other thing, too, which is tough to quantify in sports, but it's real. I will use the Chiefs first, and then I'll use the Cowboys second, unfortunately. when you are now playing the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, there's a lack of belief you're going to beat them.
Agreed.
As the game progresses.
Agreed.
So you get a turnover from Patrick Mahomes, and that's great. It ups your confidence. Yep. As a team. But as the game progresses, you know who you're going against. You know you're going against the best, not only quarterback, but probably the best team still. And it ruins your confidence as it goes on, and it presses you into bad decisions, or you try to do too much. You get outside of your gap because you got to make this play, and they take advantage of you maybe being over aggressive because you don't truly in your mind believe you can just beat them straight up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Brock Purdy yesterday was out of character. Yeah. The Chiefs forced it a little bit with their pressure. There were times that he was throwing, he's not even looking at the fourth or fifth option. He's trying to force a throw that he didn't need to. And I thought that was, I didn't want to say panic, but uncharacteristic for sure, because he usually seems so calm.
It does change real quick for the Cowboys. That's the unfortunate part. Is, yeah, you know that they're going to collapse on the sidelines, and yep, then you see CeeDee Lamb upset. You see them screaming at each other, and you know, you're like, we got them. They've now lost it. And then also you have the belief, we've seen them on television so many times lose it to good teams. As long as we're a good team, we can make them lose it.
By the way, Troy Aikman finished top five for MVP voting one time. Not top three, but he was fifth in MVP voting in 1993. He had 3,100 yards, 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He had 15 touchdowns, Kevin. And he had a 69.1% completion.
Actually, at that time, that's a really high completion percentage.
It was his highest of his career.
All right. Do you guys want Packers Texans or Lions Vikings?
Lions Vikings. That was a blast. Like, that was an absolute blast of a game.
All right, Alec, if you can, give me that game winning field goal.
For the lead, Bates has delivered. Detroit is on top with 15 seconds left.
Now, both of those games were like literally won by last second field goals. Jared Goff, or we could go any direction you want with this. Jared Goff's last three games.
We have what? 4 incompletions?
He has 10.
Okay.
In 3 whole games. He's 58 for 68, 887 yards. Great. Stat. No interceptions and 7 touchdowns. The Lions have won all 3 of those games, and now they're in first place in the North at 5-1.
The touchdown throw he got to Amon-Ra St. Brown may have been the prettiest throw I've ever seen from him. It was beautiful, and he was wide open, but because Jared Goff threw, remember whenever we were scouting him, Kevin, and we were Knights still, I believe.
Sure.
And I kept telling you, 20-plus yards, he's the most accurate quarterback I've ever seen. Like, he puts it on a dot as 20-plus yards. I don't know how much he got opportunities with the Rams, but he looks confident. He's got that accuracy that you've been asking for. I wanted to ask, though, did you see the final play of the game?
That's what I learned.
No, your mic's off, but...
That's what I learned. You should set up in an illegal formation.
Yes.
If your fatsoes can't get down there to line up... It doesn't matter. You only need a center, and you need a quarterback to snap the ball. Everybody else just needs to be still.
The receiver was 15 yards downfield.
So you can have whatever you want as a formation. You just need everybody to be still to snap the ball. So like when Dak ran up there, the Niners playoff game, and they're all trying to line up, you just need the center and the quarterback and everybody else stay still. You can just say, well, we only had one guy on the line of scrimmage. It doesn't matter as long as you spike the ball with 1 second or snap the ball with 1 second.
There's no runoff. And I never knew that. And I don't know how many people, I don't know if the Vikings knew that. And that they were just like, we know this, let's do it. Or if they just happened to do it, and then they're like, okay.
You think they lucked into it?
Thought it was over.
Even Dan Campbell was like,
they were
yes,
all excited. It's over. And you could see them hugging Jared Goff and like, we did it. And then they're like, no, it's just a 5-yard penalty and we have to do a last play.
You know what's going on in his mind, right? He's like, the referees, just like last year against the Cowboys, they're out to get us.
Now,
and they sacked Sam Darnold.
But that was fascinating too, though, because the big touchdown to Justin Jefferson, you're like, oh my gosh, this one's over. And then, you know, Detroit comes back and scores too. That was a fun game, man.
Detroit at one point broke off 21 straight points. And are they and this might be a question for tomorrow or down the road, but just quick snap decision, Detroit is the team to beat?
Yes.
In the NFC?
If Aiden Hutchinson comes back healthy.
Which they said he would only come back for the Super Bowl, I believe.
Oh, really?
They are so physical.
They did such a good job of dealing with that major injury yesterday, and so maybe they can overcome it. But I just think losing that type of player is going to be very tough come do or die time. But
when you're good across the board, though, when you're like you don't rely on the one player, you can manage.
So here's what you do at the end of the game. You catch the ball. There's 5 seconds till you don't have a timeout. The wide receiver is your center. Whoever has the ball runs. They set the ball. He's the center. The quarterback gets underneath. Everybody else just stays still.
Yeah. And then you can get a penalty. Let's go to cut number 6 because Green Bay and Houston also went down to the last second.
Here's the snap, low snap, placement made, kick to the upright, and it is good! Yes! It is good! Yes! It is good! The Green Bay Packers have won! Brandon McManus, 45-yard field goal. Welcome to Green Bay!
All right. You're shaking your head, Corey, and I'm curious why, because there was a lot of interesting things about this game.
Okay, one, McManus was the kicker that everybody was like, hey, this dude's available, and everybody was like, yeah, nobody wants to touch him. But that's a different story for a different time.
That's true.
The amount of turnovers that Jordan Love had, I felt like he shouldn't have won that game.
Yeah.
But suddenly, Stroud is constantly having pressure down his back. And that's like, he didn't seem to have that last year. He seemed so poised and so capable. And I don't know if it was because they were better at protecting or he was just getting the ball out faster, but Stroud is starting to, their offense has started to slow.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm kind of confused. But I just didn't think that Green Bay deserved to win that because their quarterback didn't play great, but there you go.
They turned the ball over 3 times.
Yeah.
I did not believe the Texans turned the ball over at all, but like you said.
Oh, and so that's the Cowboys-Packers,
right?
Yeah, or Cowboys-Steelers.
Yes, which is really weird that you would get two games like that in such close proximity. I thought going in, this was going to be an offensive game. C.J. Stroud, since he came into the league, leading passer in yards per game. Jordan Love, co-leader in pass touchdowns. And then for like the first, half of the game, you're like, well, maybe into the second quarter we got some stuff going. But it was a slow start.
And it was, once again, to restate how we started this, it was a slugfest. Like, both of these teams want to kill each other.
And they ran the ball effectively.
Right. And so both teams are like, we are going to show our physical dominance as they were both battling each other for who is the more physical team. And unfortunately, when we talk about playoff contenders and then Super Bowl contenders, they all want to see who can kill first.
Yeah.
The Cowboys don't have any killers. They have very good players. Don't get me wrong. CeeDee Lamb, great player. Micah Parsons, great player and has a little bit of that killer in him. But like, you got to have 11 killers. Some dude number 6 for, I know it's a different game, San Francisco, Wake Forest rookie wants to just kill everybody when he's trying to hit him. Like, yeah. I'm like, dude, they got these.
You got Donovan Wilson. That's about it.
Yeah, and he's number 6 too.
Yeah.
But like you have, you watch that Green Bay-Houston game. I was with you too. At times I thought it was slow.
Yeah.
But then I'm watching it and I'm like, these 11 guys on defense, they all want to kill the ball.
And don't you get the sense before the game, it was a
Malik Mustafa is who you're talking about.
Let's not take the lead early and just coast the rest of the way or ride it out. We're probably going to get punched in the face. I personally am probably going to get punched in the face. Can we punch back? Can we grit it out in the fourth quarter and get this win? Because
they expect
ugly.
Those kind of games.
Yes.
Think about it going into
and
it.
And maybe for another topic, like, who is the Cowboy guy that, I don't know, that they have to draft to change the mentality of we want to be the most physical team?
Mike, okay, but we just got told.
You know better.
Not this Pat. Maybe it was
change.
It was last year, I think, in the draft. Didn't they say that was their draft to toughen up the team?
Yeah.
They were like, this is the draft.
Michael
we're
was
going to change our mentality.
You know, and
Jake Ferguson's another guy that I think will fight to the death.
But Mike, when we started talking about is Micah that change, that culture change guy, you were like, you said it. He'll get buy into the Cowboys way in about a year or two.
And he is great. It's just, the Cowboys do not want to fight the way we watch those 6 teams.
Agreed.
And those 3 games fight.
With the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Basher.
We have the dream matchup in the World Series, but man, did I have fun watching last year this weekend. Next.
Gotta steal. Soto, a high fly ball to center. Thomas backing up. Thomas at the track. And Juan Soto! A three-run home run!
I really did not think that that was going to get out of the park. Like, I thought a play was going to be made right at the wall on that.
You know, what's interesting is I was watching True TV at the time. I was watching the extra broadcast with all the extra stuff, which is interesting because, just to be honest, like, I want to see if, like, the Rangers can do some games like that, regular season games. Like, can we throw all that on there for
maybe, like... Did they have the Impractical Joker guys doing the call?
I don't know who was doing those. I think it was one was Dexter Fowler.
That's the only thing anybody knows that's on True TV besides when sports pop back up on there.
You're not lying.
But the way Juan Soto reacted on contact gives me an idea. And I was like, he thinks he got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, the broadcasters didn't. You can listen to the broadcast there. You can listen to the New York Yankees call. Everybody thinks, like, no, that ball was too high. It was elevated enough that would be a tough pitch to hit that high. And where he hit it, he didn't hit it down the line. Like, to hit the ball out near center field, that doesn't make any sense. But when Juan Soto hit it, you could tell that he was very confident in his contact there.
Yeah, he was.
Now, that's part of the information you're going to get. And some baseball nuggets.
All right, so let's go to that series real quick. Cleveland and New York. That was a better series. Those games in Cleveland, obviously, we got to talk about Friday, the Thursday night walk-off by David Fry.
Right.
And then you get to Friday night, and then you get another great game that gets into the ninth, the 10th inning, and you're just like, man, this series is awesome. Unfortunately, Emmanuel Clase was not good in this series. I felt good for him yesterday. I was like, finally, he got out there and pitched. And I think he faced four guys, only gave up one hit. But I just like, man, Clase, like, sometimes this just happens, right? You get to the playoffs and your best hitter or your best pitcher for San Diego, L.A. wouldn't be in the World Series right now if Dylan Cease didn't stink in the playoffs. Yeah. But how are you going to know, hey, we're going to get to the playoffs and Dylan Cease, who's been really good for us, is a great trade. We're so happy we made this trade. We get to the playoffs, he's going to be completely pathetic against the L.A. Dodgers. You just can't know those things. And for if Clase does his job, there would have been a game six at least, because he would have closed out game four to tie it up at two. But he wasn't able to do his job again. Well, it was 6-6 when he came in, and then it's 8-6. But what I'm getting at is sometimes you just don't know who's going to perform that you're counting on. And then who you're not counting on comes through with a big clutch hit or a big clutch pitching situation. You're like, I would have never guessed that this guy would be the guy to put up two or three. Like last year, John Gray. Who would have ever guessed John Gray would come into relief and give you, I think it was close to three, if not three, shutout innings in the World Series that you're just like, well, I wasn't expecting that at all.
I guess the only person that really kind of saw that was JD, who gets a lot of credit for trading Clase away. Otherwise, you would have had him giving up the
Smart job, JD. DeShields Jr. and Emmanuel Clase. we got Kluber, man. That one inning in the blue jersey. The first time we ever wore the powdered blues.
Hell yeah.
Adrian did not, like, she doesn't care that much. But I was telling her that story, and she was like, God, that's the worst. And then I was telling her Fry's story, and she was like, okay. Every time she was like, when's Fry up next? So she was excited to watch him throughout the week.
Let's go through the Juan Soto at bat to win game five and to push the New York Yankees into the World Series. Corey, we are just talking about this off the air. That at bat, I have not gone back and watched pitch by pitch, but when I was watching it in a from a pitcher's perspective, you get pretty screwed up in your head when you're facing one of the best and they won't swing at your strikeout pitch, that's just a ball, or they keep fouling off your out or strikeout pitch, and you start thinking in your head, what do I have to do? I can't get him off-timed where he's either fouling it off or he's just spitting on it, not swinging, and going, I'm not going to swing at that pitch.
It was Gattis, by the way.
Okay, I was going to say, somebody will be able to help me out with this because there's an amazing accompanying video breaking it down pitch by pitch.
You want me to send it your way?
Yeah, I've seen it, but I just don't. I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden on who was doing the
video. MLB Network. Yeah. It was Reynolds and then another guy and another guy.
But it was a fantastic, like, it's like 3.5 minutes, give or take.
I don't know if it's a changeup or split finger. I don't know which Gattis throws, but like off the top of my head. But he throws one at the bottom of the zone and Juan Soto freezes on it. And it's 99% of hitters, when they freeze, they're done. They can't pull the trigger anymore. They've been fooled and they just let the ball go by and they're hoping that it's a ball. And last second, he takes an emergency hack at it and fouls it off, like opposite field, just fouls it off. And to me, as a pitcher, that's the OS moment.
Yeah.
Not that you know you're going to lose or give up a home run, but you're like, I froze him. He buckled.
Change up.
And then he fouls that pitch off. Yeah. Like, he's able to foul that one off and just hit it right before it gets to the catcher's mitt. And it was an off-speed pitch. It wasn't like blew it by him. He was fooled by the off-speed. He was fooled by the location. And he still fouled it off. And those are those Adrian Beltres, Juan Soto's, Albert Pujols's. You know, you name the best of the best, and you're just like, these are the guys that when you're on the mound and you're trying to get them out and you get to pitch six, pitch seven, and they still won't get out, and you've been ahead in the count, this is where you're screwed up. Now, in another way, Tanner Bibee fell into that with Giancarlo Stanton. He got ahead of him. Now he's getting a little bit fatigued, and he wouldn't swing on 0-2. He didn't swing at 1-2. He didn't swing at 2-2. He didn't swing until he got to 3-2, and he's like, well, I have to throw him a strike. It was a stupid thought, but it happens to us on the mound of like, well, he didn't swing at my three balls on 0-2, so I'm going to throw a strike, and maybe he'll take that one too. And then he hit it 440-something feet at about 289
great
miles an hour.
Hitters are just creating a way to get their pitch, right, a pitch they can drive.
And the Yankees and Dodgers have done a great job in these series. But Juan Soto, man, those at-bats, they just get so tough when you're on the mound and they will not swing at your pitch. Or when you throw your pitch, they foul it off. And then finally he got a pitch he could handle. And it still wasn't a bad pitch. The pitch to Class A when Aaron Judge hit the ball opposite field for a home run, that's not a bad pitch. Would he like for it to have been like 6 inches further down? Yeah. Yes. But he threw it on the black. And still Aaron Judge hit a home run on that one. That one was at the top of the zone or above the zone, and Juan Soto hit a homer on it.
What's your thought, though? Soto, that was cinema, honestly. Soto was up there. I don't want to say he was acting, but, man, he was doing a brilliant job of, you could see on his face how he felt about each pitch. He was trying to intimidate. That was fun.
Sometimes you can see a guy. It's just a matter of what body language they want to give you. Some guys are doing that. They just don't give you the body language to know it. Juan Soto is giving you all the body language on how he's thinking, what his mentality is. Aaron Judge isn't going to do that, right? Or Shohei Ohtani is not going to do that. He's not going to show you, I got him. I feel confident. Juan Soto, and you're doing it to psych yourself up too, that I can do this.
Yeah, okay.
Because you are in a, you know, the moment everybody's standing, you know, everybody, there's this energy, you know what's on the line. And so you do have to have self-talk in there, because if you get nervous, and some of the best do it, like my favorite player of all time, it'll never change, is Dirk Nowitzki. Unfortunately, in Miami with the championship on the line, he missed two free throws.
Yep.
You know, like, you would have never guessed Dirk would do that. Yeah. Not Dirk. Like, yeah, I get it. Nothing against, you know, our guy Josh Howard. I love Josh Howard. But you could see that happening to Josh Howard. You just can't see it happening to Dirk. So even the best, sometimes the moment will get the best of them. And you think something that they've done at a 90% clip, Dirk Nowitzki, then they go 0 for 2 in that situation. And Juan Soto, you're having to self-talk because there's a lot on the line. Now, I don't want to get away from this because I only have a minute here. So after the Yankees win and they go to the World Series and they're celebrating, and I did watch some of the celebration, but then I said, hey, Jake, to my 16-year-old downstairs with me, I said, hey, I got something for you. And I just typed in Rangers game 7.
Yeah.
And so what I did, Ranger fans, I know sometimes it does feel like a long time ago, and maybe you're totally out on baseball because it is Yankees, Dodgers. I'm totally in on it. But man, if you can go back, since now the World Series is about to happen, you're still the defending champs for about another 10 days to 2 weeks. But go back and watch game 7. Just, and then relive the feeling of all of those things, I'll tell you what also it did for me, and I'm going to watch some more of it. It made me forget how great Evan Carter was.
He was phenomenal.
Because for
run.
The 2 months this year, obviously he wasn't. Yes. He struggled tremendously, and hopefully he comes back and he looks like the guy that we saw in September and October in 23. But man, when you go and watch that and you watch Corey Seager hit a second decker, the second batter of the game, and then you watch the Rangers add on a couple more runs, and then you watch the Rangers kind of destroy him.
And those just, stupid astronaut people sitting in the crowd.
It was just so fun to remember what it felt like a year ago to make the World Series Game 7 in Houston. So I just recommend Ranger fans, as I end this baseball nugget with, take some time today or this week before Friday and the World Series starts. Go to YouTube and type in whatever game you want to maybe relive that you kind of forget the highlights of, to remember what it felt like to be in the ALCS. And also, in a way, my then son was asking me, he's still my son, not dead, but my son was asking me in that moment, how come Adolis Garcia did this year? How come this? And I'm like, it was just a bad year for the Rangers. It was a bad year for Adolis. Yeah. It was a bad, like, but, because he's like, you think we can get back to this? And I'm like, yes, but we also might lose 86 games this upcoming year. I don't know, because these guys were great in 2023.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, plus the battles and bottles of Georgia, Texas. Next on The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.